And hello, welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host this week, Jared Griffin, and I get to do the theater talk episodes, and this is fantastic because I love theater. You guys love theater. Kodiak is a great theater community, and there's a very special play going on this weekend from the Fairwind Players called Silent Sky by Lauren Gunderson. It is this weekend at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium Drama Pod, this Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. And here, joining me in the studios for their lunch hour, thanks again for spending your lunch hour with me, is a room full of actors. Oh, they just, some gave me smiles, some gave me, some gagged. So what we'll do, we'll just start over here on my left with the director of Silent Sky, Wes Hanna. We'll just go around the room, introduce yourself, and what role do you play in the play?
Well, thanks, Jared. I'm Wes Hanna. I'm one of the directors of Silent Sky.
My name is Christina Van Hoogmode, K-Van. I play the character Annie in the show.
My name is Esther Anderson. I play Margaret Levitt in the show, which is the sister.
My name is Jess Hodge, and I am the assistant director in the show.
And I'm Shauna Brecky. I play Wilhelmina Fleming.
Wilhelmina Fleming.
Well, is it, yeah, I was about to say, it's Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina. So, anybody chime in? What in the world is Silent Sky about? Let's start first with the plot and then talk about what is it really about.
Ooh. Well, Silent Sky is about the life of Henrietta Leavitt, who was an astronomer in the 1900s, around the turn of the century, when a lot of things were going on in the world. If you think back 100 years ago, women didn't necessarily have the right to vote in the early 1900s. We didn't know all that much about the cosmos back in the 1900s. And so this is about her life, but it's also about just discovery and social change and all kinds of really great things.
I think it's about passion, 100%. Every single person in this play, they're passionate about something, and figuring out what they're passionate about is kind of fun. I won't spoil it. You'll have to come see the show, but everyone is passionate about something, and I would say be looking out for what they find intriguing in their lives.
From a side character's perspective, I would also say that it's about if you see someone with a passion, that to like kind of give them encouragement, because then in turn that kind of feeds your own passions and just it just makes you a better, more supportive person as well.
Sounds like a very uplifting story.
It is. It starts with a woman named Henrietta Leavitt. She's recruited to go work at Harvard, and the entire department, their sort of Hidden Figures-esque, was made of women, because the Dr. Pickering, the guy that is in charge of the minutiae of the stars, said, my housekeeper could do a better job than these boys. And so he hired women. Also, he could pay women less. So the brightest minds of mathematicians, astronomers, the brightest female minds were at Harvard Observatory, and it was the pinnacle of the academic or the astronomical community at that point. And Henrietta's the main character, looking to make important discoveries and obstacles in her way, like sexism, big one, and also just living in the 1900s. Early 1900s was rough, guys. Like, doctors were doctors, but were they? So
smart men with degrees.
Exactly. So the show starts with her going after her passion and going to work at Harvard, and explores the life of Henrietta Leavitt, and also introduces us to other characters based on real historical figures. My character, Annie Cannon, was an important astronomer as well. And Wilhelmina Fleming was a very important astronomer. There's also a love story. There's some love in there. There's love between sisters and maybe some other kinds of love. Maybe a good Valentine's Day show.
Oh, there you go. So the playwright Lauren Gunderson is very famous for writing strong female protagonist, you know, stories, especially ones from history. So Wes, you chose this play, you were at least the leader behind wanting to do this play with Fairwind. So what was it that struck you?
Well, I the first thing was I went and saw the play, and then I immediately went back and saw it again, because it was such a moving play. There was so much going on. I was moved by the story. I was moved by the characters, and I love a good story about science. I love playwrights that write about science. Tom Stoppard is right down
Tom
my
Stoppard,
alley.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Who just passed away.
He just passed
away
a couple
months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But playwrights that blend science into their plays, I really enjoy that. That's something I really enjoy. So and I wanted to bring it to Kodiak if I could, you know, because I'd seen it off island, of course. But I really thought, hey, let's see if we can bring this story to Kodiak too, and see if there's an audience there for it. It's a really a moving play. It's really a beautiful play. It's beautifully written. It's got beautiful characters in it. It's got impactful scenes in it. It's a play about discovery. It's a play about love. It's a play about passion, as Esther said. It's got all of those elements in it. And that's part of the reason I wanted to bring it to Kodiak, and yeah, plenty of unfairness. It was not great to be a woman, before they had the right to vote. There's a lot of instances in history of women not being credited the work that they do in science, and there's a lot of instances in history where the women do the work and then the men decide, hey, that's great work. I think I'm going to take credit for that. And so this is a story about probably little known historical figure who made tremendous contributions to science, that we are just really kind of talking about again through Lauren's play.
So, You hit on two things, and I have not seen. I read the play many years ago.
Yep.
But so you've got science, which seems like something, you know, kind of hard and almost, you know, tangible. But then you have like things that like almost ethereal kinds of things, like love and passion, and like how do those two worlds meet with your characters?
Well, actually, I think that's funny you bring up the contradictions in that, because I think the main character of Henrietta really like goes through that and is in like there's moments where she's just like, what's the mix here? What is the point of, you know, this or that? And I think it's just it's finding that ground, that center of like, what is the separation of like a science, like a passion for science, and then a passion for, you know, living your life outside of your work, and is there a way to have a middle ground with that?
So who plays we should probably mention who plays Henrietta?
Casey Jo Wright does.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone just did nose goes.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone looked around to see who's gonna grab a mic.
I think even Buddy jumped into K-Van's lap. So let's. It sounds like one of the key relationships in the play is the relationship between the sisters. Can you talk more about that, Esther?
Well, you have Margaret, who is, I would say, a homebody, and is very down to earth. And then you have Henrietta, who is very much an extrovert, but also an introvert at the same time. And she is, her head is in the clouds, or should I say the outer space, in space, seeking more knowledge, wanting more for her life, not seeing herself tied down to where her sister is content with. in life. Their differences and what's important, and finding the balance in between that. I think there are definitely times in the play where we call each other out, and it's reminding the other that there is more out there, but there's also more at home. And finding that balance is really hard, especially when you're as passionate as Henrietta is with astronomy. But we can be also very passionate about having a family, having that life, having a good home life. And in the 1900s, that was what most people were passionate about, was having a good home life. And Henrietta dared to dream for more and want for more. And it's a little tragic that she didn't get everything she desired, but I think in the end, she found peace and balance with what she did choose.
It can be quite the contradiction at times. It feels like the play feels like it has echoes of Little Women, iconic story set in a similar time period. The difference between passion for external things and passion for leading a simple life. I think when you're young, you can often feel like you need we usually tell kids, you can go do great things. You can go do brilliant things. You can change the world. And that's put in so many kids' minds and so many people's minds that we sometimes forget to celebrate the ordinary. And it's a little bit about that contradiction, trying to find the balance of like, oh, I'm going to be the first woman to do this. Mm. What kind of life do I want to live? And what defines a good life? And one notable thing is it features Henrietta Leavitt, who is partially deaf too. So it's very interesting to see a person with a disability, and it's barely acknowledged in the show, her disability. And my character, Annie Cannon, is canonically, in real life, she was also partially deaf. So a lot of these women had disabilities and were still entrusted with a great amount of responsibility, and were able to persist. And I don't know if Henrietta's disability made her persist more, but it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's talk more about you all as artists. Yes, you, because I think this first all, except for maybe, I think we've had Jess in here before, but for some of you who haven't been on this show and have been in doing theater with Fair Wind Players or the Arts Council for so long, tell us a little more about yourself. Like what is it about acting and theater and drama that really just kind of compels you to be maybe a little more extroverted than you might be comfortable with in your, what Kay Van said, in your ordinary, you know, in the ordinary sense. Shauna.
I find the arts to be this really funny thing where, like, me and Christina had talked about this one time where, you know, back in the early ages, if you will, you know, humanity at first was, like, just concerned with collecting berries for sustenance, right? Just want to collect berries. Why did we invent jam? Because that tastes good. There's no necessary reason to have jam other than it tastes good. And that's why I think the arts is such a fun human thing to partake in. And I just love that, you know, I can, you know, go perform a job, go to work, and then I can clock off and I can go pretend to be somebody else. Or I can go work with wood and either help, you know, put together a set or take it down or strike it, I think is the actual word. I promise I've been doing this a little while. And it's a really good outlet on top of the fact that I moved here, I think, 2 or 3 years ago now. And I had just heard about a play having auditions here in town. And I was like, well, I'm bored. I'm going to go check that out. And so, you know, I was worried, like, okay, I'm probably not going to get anything. But like sure enough, the Arts Council Fair Wind Players have been so welcoming in that, like, if you're eager to you know, be here, partake, and you have a passion for arts, it's so easy to kind of just join in and help mm-hmm. wherever help is needed. I love that.
Yeah. Jess and Esther over there taking selfies.
What?
Talk about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, just, oh my gosh. This, the vain celebrities over there.
I'm a star.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Fabulous artists in their own right. What does your process look like?
My process.
My process of theater, what I like about theater.
Yeah, just.
I like that. It's not like TV and movies. It's a fleeting moment. Mm-hmm. What happens on the stage is what happens.
I love it, yes.
And that's like real life, too. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens is what happens. And it's cool with a play like this because it's historical. Like, some things are embellished and stuff, but it happens. And it happened in real life, and I feel like that's what makes it more powerful as a show. And I just, that's what I like about theater, so... That's why I like this. But I just enjoy it. I enjoy the community of it. Gives me something to do and people to hang out with and take selfies with.
Esther, you're a veteran. Veteran of Kodiak stages.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's been years. The reason why I even started, I think, theater was... just because I liked the storyline. So the first play that I remember being in was The Sound of Music. And I love The Sound of Music. Who doesn't love The Sound of Music? If you don't, I'm sorry. I don't know if we could be friends. I'm just kidding. But I just, what I love most about theater is I get to meet some extraordinary people that I may never have met before in my entire life. I'm usually... kind of a homebody. I do like to get out and do things. I love being, you know, involved in different aspects of different things. But I usually am at home a lot more than people realize. They're like, no, Esther, you're out everywhere. I see you everywhere. I'm like, no, actually, really not. But yeah, I get to connect with different people, and it's just... it's that connection that I really enjoy. I get to, you know, be a part of something bigger than my small little world and create something beautiful, just magical even. And I get to kind of hone my talents in and work on myself and becoming more comfortable on stage. Yeah. And I still get... a little bit of stage fright, which I know is shocking.
That's what makes us human. We're all, yes.
Esther was very talented. Even in high school, she did a production of The Glass Menagerie that I remember that was just, it was top rate. It was really great. Oh,
that was my favorite.
You did, that was a great play.
Yeah. Thank you. I actually started collecting glass figurines after that. Yes, I did. I fell in love with that character so much. And that was actually the first time I ever had to kiss somebody on stage. Oh. It was... Lissa, oh my God, I'm going to throw her under the bus now. It was, I think, the second to last rehearsal, and I finally told Hans, who was the person that had to kiss me, I was like, you better just do it because I don't think I'm ever going to get over like this awkwardness.
Yep.
So just do it because I know Lissa's going to make you. And Lissa was so shocked. And I was like, so yeah, my first kiss, unfortunately, was on stage.
I think that's true for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a lot of theater kids for sure.
Now, Kay Van, you're kind of known as a funny person. A great comedic actor.
Thank you.
But this play isn't what we would traditionally call a straight comedy. This is a lot more drama.
Yeah.
With elements of humor. But how are you as an artist? What goes through your mind when you're kind of looking at these
genres? When I was cast in the role, it is probably the one of more serious roles that I've taken. because I was actually cast as Annie recently in the play that goes wrong, same name. Crazy.
Did that on purpose?
Definitely on purpose.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that.
Now you're
going to be typecast. Right? We're going to do the musical next year, so yes, start looking for the red wig.
The wig.
Get your gun, too.
The red dress.
And then Annie, get your gun.
See you as an Annie. Don't know what it is, your vibe. Put your name in lights. Annie.
Annie. So when I was first cast, I was intimidated because if you went to the Kodiak Feud on Saturday, I was up on stage being like, oh, gregarious. I had a Wilford Brimley mustache. I was the Lorax. I host trivia. I do a lot of funny stuff. But in this part, I'm really the Bert to Shauna's Ernie.
Yeah.
So
that's a great metaphor.
Yeah.
That's...
I'm the
Ernie Mia Fleming. Sorry.
That was amazing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You make me crazy. You know you make me crazy. So a significant part of my role is being very stern and focused on success, which when you see me off the stage, you will find that I am sort of very similar to that. I'm very concerned about full disclosure, I also work at KMXT. I am the development director here. So I'm very concerned about like this station's reputation and making a good impression and things like that. And so I was able to channel a lot of that through this character because she cares a lot about buying into the system that that's of science. You act a certain way in science. You're not supposed to be silly in science. Shauna's character, Wilhelmina Fleming, is the foil to my seriousness, and Wilhelmina is very silly, always making jokes, and I get to be annoyed with all of her jokes, which is hard because they're very funny. Shauna's a very funny person, but it was a good challenge to play this person. She has a good arc from accepting the status quo to challenging it in the second act. Sorry if you wanted a surprise, guys. I'm spoiling it right now. In the first act, she's very much just do what she's told structure. But in the second act, she actually becomes a suffragette. So she's beginning to believe less in this hierarchy and doing what she's been told and getting more involved in politics and thinking we can speak for ourselves and less do what you're told, more like, hey, we should get recognition. And if we can organize the sky, we can organize our minds to decide our own future. And that's also a passionate of mine, is getting people to vote. So if you're not registered to vote, register to vote. You can actually apply for an absentee ballot now. Midterms are about 6 months away.
Thanks for that pitch. And Wes, this isn't your first time, obviously, directing a play, but you're usually on the stage. Talk to us about the rehearsal process. How are you? Are you surprised by anything? Is it grueling?
I've been surprised by how fun it is. Maybe it's just the play that we're all doing. But this has been a lot of fun. I didn't realize how fun just sitting down and thinking about blocking is. Is that strange? That's probably a strange thing to say.
What is blocking?
But you've got two. Yeah. So you've got a stage and you've got characters interacting. And how do they move? How do they interact with each other? Who takes a step forward and then becomes more powerful? Who takes a step back and then becomes weaker in this scene? There's a lot to blocking that I'm just realizing now here in my 40s that we take for granted because in our mind, in our body language, it makes sense, but we don't really think about it. And so it's been neat. It's been neat to just do the blocking process and go, okay, so what is the language of movement of people in this scene? It's really neat.
Yeah. I've been watching some videos lately about how Steven Spielberg blocks the movement of his characters, and especially in his older movies like Jaws. Oh. I'm in my 40s learning a lot, you know, like, wow, Spielberg was really a master of blocking, because there's this all this interesting information being communicated that is not explicit. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you wish you were on the stage? You comfortable in your role?
It's always hard. Yes, I do wish I was on the stage.
If only there were more roles for white middle-aged men. I think we're entering the Daddy Warbucks phase of our career.
Part of the problem recently has been that as the auditorium director, I don't have as much opportunity to do acting as I did before when I had another job. Usually my skills are needed for the technical aspects, the behind the scenes aspects of what's going on in theater. And so I'm running the microphones, or, you know, I'm running the sound or the lights, usually one of those three things. The last time I was actually in a play was back in 2020. And so, I miss it.
Hasty Heart.
Yeah. The Hasty. Oh, you Hasty. Even know it.
I mean, it was the last play before the pandemic.
It was the last play we put on before the pandemic. In fact, pandemic was nipping at our heels.
It was.
Seeing, you know, we didn't know if we were going to get through that run at all because
they
were shutting things down. And you know how theaters get shut down in pandemics. It's just the thing.
Yeah. Okay. And can you take about 30 seconds and talk about the technical elements of the show? You've done some things to the drama pod, some upgrades that I think people are going to be excited to see.
We've had some things that we've been meaning to do for quite some time. We just haven't done them. So in the drama pod, we had purchased a backdrop that we could use for scenic projections. And so we put that up in the drama pod. A few other plays have used it to good effect. I think that the people like it. And then we purchased a near throw projector, which is a projector that you can put close to the wall, not far away across the room, but close to the wall, and it will throw the screen right onto the wall, which means you can act in front of it, and it's not going to cast a shadow. And that was something I really wanted to do as part of this play, was to get that system all up and running, so that we could have neat backdrops for our actors in this play.
Mm-hmm. We've got about a minute left. Let's go around the room. Give us your final pitch. Why should we go out and come watch this show? Anybody, Shauna?
Well, it's.
One
I'm
minute.
In it. And that's that.
Yeah.
Run the room, everyone else.
the different versions of love that we see through this. It's Valentine's Day weekend.
There you go. Yes.
Like, let's go see a nice heartwarming play.
These things are taken for granted too often. Mm. And these don't happen very often at all. And I just think it would be great to have Kodiak come out and support not only the arts, but their fellow community members as a whole.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kavan,
yes. I'm also in it. and you owe me one. No. It's theater is good. Theater is good. We need to keep making art. We've lost so much during the pandemic. This is the first smaller play we've done since the hot mess of the pandemic that's like this. We've worked very hard on it. It's good. It'll make you laugh. It might make you cry. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, then that's okay too, because that's what art is about.
Okay. Really quick, Wes, give us the details again. Silent Sky this weekend.
Silent Sky this weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Friday and Saturday's shows are at 7 p.m. The Sunday show is at 2 p.m. at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. DramaPod.
All right. Thank you, Wes, Kay Van, Esther, Jess, and Shauna for coming in and talking about Silent Sky. It's going to be a great show. I cannot wait.
Thank you.